In this week's episode, JJ has a great idea, I have to turn away, Samantha gets rooms vibes, twice, and Mike just wanted to watch a Western. This is Old Boy. We'll just kind of get into it because, oh boy, do we have an episode here for you today on Funsphere Movie Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
I'm Odaisu.
Oh.
Okay, I was going to pick. Never mind.
Go ahead.
No, I'm fine.
I'll be an older.
It's going to get weird
soon.
I was going to say, today we are not talking about Bubble Boy. We're not talking about a boy.
We're not talking about Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
That's true. Today we are talking about Old Boy, a 2003 South Korean action thriller film directed and co-written by Park Chan-wook. It's apparently a loose adaptation of a Japanese manga of the same name, which I did not know. All right, so who is to blame for the discussion of this film? Why,
Michael?
It's our pal Mike.
Well, okay. So this all started because we had plans last year to go see it at Central Cinema.
Yes,
and we didn't end up doing it. And I wanted to watch Once Upon a Time in the West.
Ooh.
You said another Western, but I don't think we have done a Western.
Oh,
we did the man with the cat who vanished.
It had to be more specific.
I forgot what it's called. And then he's like, you're ugly.
Oh, that's not a Western, The Long Goodbye?
No.
They are in the West.
No, I think, Mike, I said that because I think you had suggested a Western once, and we didn't end up watching that. I think we ended up watching The Long Goodbye instead.
Yeah. It was probably because it's never freaking available on anything.
No, that was the trouble this time.
So, we couldn't do that, and I figured, all right, we'll just do this movie that we talked about watching.
Well,
and I'll go ahead and start with mine.
Okay.
Since I picked it. If it weren't for you guys making such a big deal about it,
okay,
I probably would have been surprised, but as soon as they introduced her, I was like, yep, it's his daughter. So there was no surprise.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, when we were at we saw that it was released for its 20th anniversary, Josh and I were so excited. We're like, yes! Like, but, you know, it's really a hard movie to really sit there and say, I'm so pumped about this being back in the theater. So,
yeah.
Because it's good. But it's not one, hey, let's bring our friends and family, which Josh and I were trying to do.
Yeah,
I will say, like, the shocking bits aside, it was really well shot.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Gorgeous colors.
Yeah. So, just another little backstory for the folks listening at home. This was the winner of the 2003 Cannes Film Festival. They call it the Grand Prix is what it wins. Which was really hyped by Quentin Tarantino, who happened to be a judge that year. And I would also mention this movie has been adapted for the American audience in 2013 by Spike Lee, who is a big fan of the original movie and starred Josh Brolin.
For him being a fan, I haven't seen it, but I read about it. Sounds like he did not do it justice.
Okay, well, I would
be hard to.
I was gonna give the same opinion, Samantha. I was gonna give Spike a kind of a pass because he adapted it a lot truer to the source material than I thought he was going to. I'll say that for the 2013 remake. But yeah, and I agree. I think this is a very difficult movie to make a translation of. So, I got a question for you guys. Samantha, I know you've mentioned in passing in on a couple episodes that you watch Korean television on like Netflix and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this the first time you guys can think of that, like, Korean cinema or Korean television made it over to the States to view? Because for me, this, like, triggers, like, this is the first time I saw something, like, made in Korea that I could recall.
Hmm.
I think I saw, it might be one of the first.
I didn't do it, like, I couldn't find the answer to that question, but I was like, is this maybe one of the very first ones even brought to the States for anyone? I can't remember anything prior to this, really. And there's,
I think it could be. I can see that, like, one being, like, one of the first, like, mainstream, like, and then, like, it was quiet, except for people who love dramas for a while until Parasite, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was,
which I still need to see that one, too.
I actually Parasite's haven't seen good. That either, yeah.
I like Parasite.
Okay.
And
yeah, because, yeah, I don't remember. I mean, that was 2003, so I don't remember what was the big push. And if there was anything that was out before that. But I remember I was trying to look at some things this morning and what other movies were out around that time. And I was like, Holes, Kill Bill.
The Room.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I have kind of a weird take.
Okay.
And this is not anything to do with the acting or the quality of the writing or anything, but somehow it gave me Room vibes. I think it was like the weird, I think it was the music and then like the cool tones.
Okay.
And then just him wandering the city. It reminded me a little bit of The Room, but I was also watching this while working. So I knew I wanted to watch it distracted because Wes made me watch a long time ago, which actually was the first Korean thing I ever saw. Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance.
Okay.
Which I think is related to this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or it's the same guy. And I was like, this is the most fucked up thing I've ever seen. I've heard old boys related to it. I'm like, I'm never watching anything in this cinematic universe again.
Yeah. The Vengeance trilogy.
That's kind of how I was thinking too. Like, if I had watched this earlier in my life, I think it would have probably scarred me. Kind of like I remember watching Clockwork Orange when I was 16.
Ooh.
And way too young.
I will say I remember when we were going to see this, we had encountered JJ's film House first, and I was like, there's no way that anyone could mentally like survive these two films back to back.
Yeah. And, you know, even whatever we decide for our next movie, it needs to really cleanse the palate.
Yeah,
unless we just all decide to watch the American version.
I really know what I want to pick, but it's not streaming anywhere. So you guys would all have to come over so we can watch it. Skids Blu-ray.
Gotcha. Speaking of, this is definitely like not also, even though we wanted to go see it at the theater together, it's not a film you see with friends and family around you. It's
no.
Best to be viewed at like maximum of like two people. Did Angela watch this with you, Mike? I was interested.
Yeah, she's in Seattle on a work trip.
Yeah. Okay. That was Marielle's first question. She's like, I want to know what Angela thought of it.
I'll make her watch it.
I'll make her watch
it again.
Gonna make her watch it. Jeez.
Yeah, that's the family movie of 2003, y'all. Literally. Ugh.
Well, it's a family film.
All right, so. All right, so.
So I do think the most fucked up part about the movie is the very end. Are they suggesting that he's gonna continue to go along with the relationship so that she doesn't?
That's what I was
suspect
thinking.
Anything.
That's
what I was thinking. The most fucked up.
Because I was like, how can he get out of this?
Okay, so
the
end of the movie is somewhat vague about exactly what is happening or what he's wanting to happen. So, like, yeah, he does try to get himself hypnotized into forgetting so that basically she won't find out because he knows, like, he'd let it slip, I think is what it's stated. But at the end, like, it's kind of like you don't know if it actually took or not based on his facial mm-hmm. expressions.
Right.
So, yeah.
Especially with.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that forced smile that he does. Yeah. You know, it's like.
I hope she never gets pregnant.
But they do that smile for a lot of scenes. Like, during his most fucked up parts, like, whenever he's fighting or he's about to get in the elevator, he does that same smile. Yes.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, and then he's supposed to be okay with it, you know, and I think, you know. To that interpretation, no matter what, let's assume that he forgot everything, he's still going to have this relationship that he never had with his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like, oh, now she's going to be the caregiver for him for the rest of his life too at that point, you know. I mean, so that's not what you want to do either. So it's, even if he's able to forget about everything and still live like however he thinks he's going to live through this, it's reverse roles now. She's going to have to be the caregiver for him, and I that's bad too.
Yeah. Hey, now that we've spoiled everything, we should also give a summary of what this movie's even about.
I was going to say it may be time to do that. All right. So, yeah, since we've basically ruined it all, basically what happens is Odesu is kidnapped for 15 years and kept in extreme isolation. He doesn't know by who at first, and he doesn't know the reason why. And it actually begs the question, like, actually in the movie, it's like, would his torturer have been better suited if he knew why he was there and how long he was going to be there for? Or did just, like, the vagueness of it make it all that more worse? So after 15 years, he's let loose, and he kind of goes through a little mystery of trying to figure out who the person was that put him in prison, why, and all that. And it goes through a lot of twists and turns. It turns out the villain is an old person from his high school where Desu's started kind of a rumor, but it's not really a rumor. It actually happened, but it resulted in the death of his sister, the villain's sister. And so this is an elaborate revenge scheme, basically from that point on. And at the end, there's a confrontation between the two, and the villain, does the villain get their ultimate revenge? Let's discuss that.
Well, I think he did, but then he realized that it wasn't what he wanted, and that's why he offed himself. Or it didn't make him feel any better about his own situation.
I always interpreted it that he was never going to feel good about the situation, and that by killing himself, he kind of, like, closed the book on the revenge scenario, so does it become a cycle of, like, so Desu doesn't come after him later or anything like that. I thought that was kind of his...
Did he know?
I thought that was, like, that was always my interpretation, is, like, yeah, it didn't solve anything, but by killing me, myself, he doesn't kind of give him the Desu the satisfaction of getting revenge.
But also the final scene, too, where he is holding his sister off the dam, you know, and he lets go. You know, you can also interpret that he's letting go of that particular part, and you see, like, oh, I am good now, but he's still worse, you know? And so, yeah, to your point. Yeah. That's, it feels like, yeah, he got closure, but he's still not there.
No.
I love that she took a selfie, like, mid plummet, like the start of her plummet. She's like, hey, bye.
Oh, that wasn't even a digital camera. He had to get that processed.
That's true. That is absolutely true. That film had to be developed.
I did think it was a tough spot. Like, it's kind of unfair for the viewer to not have any kind of understanding of their previous relationship. Like, you're introduced a villain that you didn't get any background.
Okay.
So that kind of part is not fair, but then I get that, how can you introduce that storyline without spoiling what's supposed to be the biggest shock of the movie?
Yeah, because it seems like his imprisonment is just completely random, and that almost makes it kind of worse. Like, that's this, like, the dread that really gets to me from the film is, like, you know, if you know why you landed up there, you can deal with it. And, like, he literally asked that question, like I mentioned earlier. He's like, if I knew why or how long, would it have been better or worse? And I agree with you about the mystery. It's not fun that the viewer of the film can't kind of follow along or try to do their own detective work to figure it out. But it definitely has the dramatic element by having just these absolutely crazy reveals and twists in the plot. I can't speak if that's something more from Asian cinema or not, for their kind of mysteries.
I think French films do that too.
Yeah.
Actually.
Okay.
Yeah. And then also, if they established that part early on, I mean, how much would you want to continue watching if you, I mean, Mike said, oh yeah, I know the twist, but imagine. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if I can continue watching this. You know, we all did, but.
So, another thing for, what's the guy's name? The villain's name? It's Ju-hun, I think. So, did you guys get the feeling like everything that guy did, he became like super successful and everything like that? That was all just a means to an end to enact this eventual huge revenge scheme? Like, that was that guy's only purpose in life? Okay, so not just me then. That's good. Because I always interpreted it as, like, God, the determination. And, you know, they constantly bring up the Count of Monte Cristo as an analogy for this as well. So, I don't know. Did you guys notice how many times that was brought up in the film?
I don't even recall.
Yeah.
I was too bothered by how many times they just ripped teeth out.
Ooh! Ooh, okay, yeah. I gotta admit.
I felt it. I didn't even look
with
at it.
With a hammer.
That's one of those things, like, you know, playing all these video games and stuff like that, we're pretty, I don't want to say desensitized to violence, but we can accept a lot. But that's one of those things, when that scene comes on, I have to literally turn away. I cannot watch that scene. That's brutal.
So imagine being a part of the crew. So say, like, Josh, you're the cameraman. Yeah. Mike's the director. You know, Samantha, you're going to be the... you know, the PA, but you're like, we're all looking at it together, right? And then you're like, the close-up, you know, and he's just licking the hammer. Yeah. How gross that is. You're like, oh my gosh. Then it slows, like, to the point it almost looks real. Like, I was like, his tooth is, I mean, he's really bleeding out of his gums right now.
It's so gross.
And it's so bad.
I can still feel it.
And they do it twice in the film. They decide it's like, you know what? It wasn't good enough the first time. Let's have it round two.
And then at the very end, you know, at the very end, they're like, how can we top that? Mm. And then he brings the scissors out.
I didn't look. I was like, I see where this is going. I'm going to turn back to my computer. Oh, look.
I'll tell you, my favorite scene, though, was whenever he's fighting all those guys and they all get so tired that they just start throwing stuff.
I was going to bring up the hallway scene. That is the thing that was the first thing that introduced me to the film, was like, oh, you got to see this hallway scene. I was like, oh, that's awesome. I want to watch the rest of this movie. Ooh, boy.
It's pretty remarkable that they can inject some humor in a movie.
Yes.
With this kind of story.
And that fight scene in the hallway has so many homages now in other films and television. The big hallway scene in Daredevil, the TV show, was based on this. The game I played a while back called Sifu, it literally has almost a scene for scene remake of that of that hallway fight. It's great.
I wonder if the Kiriko cinematic for Overwatch, because it ends in a big hallway fight. I wonder if it was a little bit It must be.
I think that, yeah, this is, that's one of those scenes I think is going to be played and people are going to pay respect to for a long time coming, because it's really well done. It really is.
My favorite kind of fights are ones like that where people get tired and just start like throwing random shit.
Yeah.
And I love a slap fight.
Yeah.
And so, Josh, to your point, that's how the movie was, you know, someone's like, oh, you need to go watch this movie. Yeah. The fight scene's amazing. So I went on to watch it because of the fight
me
scene.
Too. Yeah.
And, you know, the next day at work, I'm like, hey, man, you weren't going to tell
yeah,
me that.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's going on in this movie?
Content warning.
Yeah, you're like, that fight.
I could have watched Holes.
Hey, do you like lots of incest?
Yeah. I was
but hear me out. It has one of the best fight scenes.
It's a sweet fight scene, and then you're just going to have a complete mind fuck for 90% of the movie. Yeah.
So only recently have K-drama started not abusing animals.
Okay.
So this was also from the time when I would be like, anything before like the last 5 years, if there's an animal in it, I'm like, oh my God, I don't even want to know what this animal has to go through. And I know that they're eating live octopus is a thing.
Oh,
anyway,
that.
But I was like, I can't watch this. Like the fact that it's for a movie and they were just like, yep, let's just murder some octopus.
Jeez.
I was
really hoping that that was a special effect.
No, there's no way. No. I was watching a K-drama not even 10 years ago, and there's a scene where like a bunch of crabs fell on the street, and they just dumped a bunch of live crabs on the street, and you see them get like run over and stuff. And I know that they're going to eat like it's food, like it's they were crabs that were to be eaten.
Yeah.
But they're still alive, just getting like run over and crunched. And then there's one where this person has a cat and they like keep it in the basket the whole time. I'm like, stop. Only recently have they started actually taking care of them. Like there's like a disclaimer now on the front that like all animals are handled properly, blah blah blah. Only very recently.
Wow.
It's very surprising.
Well, I
just had a different attitude towards animals for a really long time, and I think now like as more people are able to have pets, I think
yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the attitude is starting to change.
Yes, it definitely is. I remember once in a cinema class I was taking, I was watching a film. It was from like the 1940s. I want to say it was Mighty Joe Young, like the original one. They flat out just drop a horse on a table from like the ceiling. The horse gets up and runs off. But I was like, oh, you know, you mentioned that it's a new history for it. I was like, American cinema used to just drop horses on tables. So, you know, we're not.
Yeah, I know. It's I know it's like, it's not just Korea, but I'm just saying it's like super recent that they've even started caring.
Yeah.
Wasn't there an old Edison film where they just electrocute an elephant?
That was a real thing that actually happened. It was, yes. He filmed the like press of it, the Topsy. It's a also a great episode of Bob's Burgers, that subject.
And then also our state, although it's not for film, we hung an elephant in Tennessee, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
for what?
I remember
what
that, too.
What crimes did this elephant commit?
The same one trampled
him? Yeah, it apparently escaped and from the circus, and it killed a couple people, and they hung it in Kingsport, Tennessee.
That's why they got ash in their water.
Oh, jeez.
Right? That happened?
Yes.
Elephant revenge.
From beyond the
they
grave.
They deserve it.
Okay.
That's fucked up.
Everything about this episode has been so far.
Yeah.
The subject. We talked about two elephants executions, public executions. Talked about
at least one octopus murdered.
Yep.
To get back to the story of the movie, though, I am a little hazy on how he was able to manipulate him into meeting his daughter. Because it seemed like it just came across randomly.
hypnotized both of them.
Yeah,
yes.
They were both hypnotized.
I think just like through the power of suggestion, they just sort of ended up in the same spot. That's what I got.
The lady that was talking. Okay. Yeah,
the lady was working him. I think he was working the girl, and then they just sort of like used their magic hypnotist powers to.
I guess I just got distracted. No, it's because I remember her talking to him to get him in the suitcase, and that scene too. I was like, that's kind of a random, but I guess that's them setting up that he can be hypnotized.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
because they mentioned that at the very end. They tell him that they were both easily hypnotized. He would want a big meal when he got out, and then that cell phone ring was the reason why he passed out, or her hand touching his hand.
Yes.
Is.
Yeah, I had to watch that twice when I was going through it this morning. I was like, wait, is that really what happened? And I had to like rewind it, and I was like, oh yeah. And I think like the initial meeting is like they knew since she was a sushi chef, they suggested the first thing he was going to want to eat would be sushi in that restaurant to go to, I think is what they said. So yeah.
You know what? Netflix subtitles are funny because they don't ever put what they're actually, so they always use the characters' names, which I guess is just for our benefit, but she never calls him by his name. She always calls him Ajushi, which is like she's just calling him Mister the whole time. Just kind of, which I think is better that she never says his name. She just calls him Mister.
Yeah. Well, it's because,
well, that would make more sense because why would she not know her dad's name?
Yeah.
I think
if she heard it.
Did they not imply like that they like memory wiped her from like 3 on? So like literally I think it's suggested that like I think the villain even says like I started supporting her or started influencing her life since she was 3, and like the film starts on her 4th birthday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he says he financially supported her.
Yeah. So.
Oh, so he made himself her father basically, like in her eyes. Some sort of.
Or like a father.
Like she. Figure. Yeah. Yeah. She definitely was drawn towards like a father figure, I think is what they said they manipulated her towards.
Yeah. 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 That's what I meant. Like.
Yeah.
You know what's really impressive as a villain is that he was able to get so many people to go along.
That's
with the scheme.
Exactly.
A lot of money.
He had a lot of money. And did he need a
lot
of
money? Yeah, but I mean, but if he had a billion dollars, say if I had $1 billion, like, guys, I got this great idea. Hear me out.
You gotta find some fuck. You know, I've watched this YouTube channel called Rotten Mango, and she does a lot of the stories she tells her like Korean true crime, and there's some very, very fucked up stuff that people are doing. So I'm not too surprised he could pay some people to go along with this.
Yeah, it seemed like it was just a pretty normal business. The only thing that was like out of the ordinary for him was locking him up for 15 years instead of just the usual 2 to 3 months the guy is talking about at the beginning of the film.
Yeah. Which, talk about another great shot, that one where it's just showing the floor cell and the foot that manipulates the lock.
No, yeah.
It was awesome.
Really good shots. I loved all the colors, all the lights in the rain. Really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you had like the volume down, just walking through, didn't know what it was on, I mean, you would like, oh, that looks good, like Amelie. Or you know, because of color.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe I'll just sit down and watch this. Well, nope, I'm getting back up.
Nope. Need to walk away from this. Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. And having the cell, I guess the apartment room he was in, on the 7.5 floor of a building. just all of it, you know. Back to the plan, it's like, so where are you going to keep him? It's like, no one's going to know about this place. It's a 7.5 floor of a building. Yeah. And with that, were there other people in there
as
well?
Yes, that's what it implies, that there's that entire complex is filled with people that are being held for a certain amount of time. Like that guy that runs it, he was talking about like the average stay is like 2 to 3 months for these people.
That everything with him in the cell reminded me of Silent Hill 4.
Ooh, yeah, okay. I got it. I'm following behind it. What that
is that the
that's
room?
That's the room.
Yeah,
is that
the room. Yeah. That's why I hate looking through my peephole.
The only one I ever played was the one that came out on PSP, and that game sucked.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we're supposed to be getting the Silent Hill 2 remake at some point, but I don't know. I don't know how that's going to turn out.
Oh. I'm just thinking, I think somebody could do that same thing here, but they could just go find some like mountain people and pay them a lot less.
But then the
probably do it for free.
For
here?
Some meth, yeah. Or something.
Oh, no. And yeah, I was about to say something absolutely terrible as well, but...
No, go ahead. For... So I can't
well,
be the only one saying
this is the episode for it.
Yeah, well, based on certain histories of certain areas, then the plot twist of the movie would mean absolutely nothing. It's like, it's Tuesday.
set this in, Alabama?
Yep, there you go.
It's been going on for generations.
Be like, I was going to do this anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Joke's on you.
Oh, Christ. Troll. Oh my word.
That's so bad. Oh no.
Well, I mean, this film is definitely the film that makes you you know.
The rumor he started was it wasn't his sister.
Oh wow.
And everyone.
And that's the ultimate plot twist. All right. Oh.
So, would you call the movie Good Old Boy then? Oh,
yeah. Why hasn't anyone made
now
this?
That could that could be the reimagining that would work.
Yeah.
So
set it in the South.
Yeah, the squid would just be like a baconator.
Yeah.
and sweet tea, but like with more added sugar.
The sweet tea is like viscosity is syrup.
Oh. No,
or just rip that scene from Men in Black with the sugar.
I was gonna
water.
Say, or they decide to really gross people out and be like, you know what? It's unsweet tea.
15 years to give him a cup of unsweet tea.
Can I just have some tea? Sweet tea? No, like hot tea. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, you could just see everybody in the theater squirming at that point. We're like, oh, that's disgusting.
I guess we'll microwave some sweet tea.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I'd say as soon as he asks for the tea, they offer him unsweet tea. Yep. That's where the fight scene happens.
I was going to say, instead of like a hallway, it's just like a single wide trailer that they do. The-
with a ton of people yeah. with assault rifles.
And we're not making fun of poor people, by the way.
No.
We're making fun of racists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anybody else got anything to say about this masterpiece? And just a quick follow up. Samantha did mention this is part of a trilogy, and you said you saw the first one. Did you ever get to see the third one? I've never seen any of the
Why
other
on
two.
Earth? No. Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance is... It really... I was like, I don't... I was like, when did I watch this when I moved here? It was when I first moved here. Like, I watched it at Wesley's house. So I was already like 19 or 20. And I was like, this is the most fucked up thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm never going to watch anything close to this again. I think it's more violent.
Hmm.
I can't remember most of it. I just remember the last scene because it's something I thought about before that movie that I thought would be probably the most painful place to be stabbed or cut. And then they're like, yeah, that's how we're going to kill this guy.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, because that was... Because after those, I saw a movie called I Saw the Devil, which was another kind of revenge style of movie. And... For a while, it just seemed like every movie that came out from Korea was just about how you can kill someone. And
yeah, it's so funny how fucked up Korean cinema is when K-dramas are so different.
Ah, well, each unique part of the world has its own unique taste for films, I guess. You know,
it's just so funny. I mean, they have other movies, what? Obviously, but you know, like the ones that make it over here are like the really fucked up ones.
It must be.
So what is everybody's most traumatic movie? I already said mine.
I think mine actually is, so my mom, okay, it's kind of a twofer. My mom did take me to go see Titanic when I was in the third grade.
Okay.
So I was 9. I think she just wanted to watch it with someone, and I just happened to be around, so that really fucked me up. And also, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, which I also saw when I was really, really young.
Okay.
So those are two movies I've never watched again.
Mm. What about you, JJ?
I would say Maximum Overdrive. Ooh. Scared the mess out of me when I was a kid.
Saw that pretty young.
That kid who gets ran over by the steamroller on the baseball field, which...
Oh, my God.
Have you seen it, Samantha?
No.
It's such a weird movie. It's like a Stephen King novel,
It is a
right?
Stephen yeah. King novel. It was one of his very
he
first
loves
ones.
Loves killing kids.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just all the appliances.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's like this alien force comes to Earth, and it takes over all of the... electronics, right?
Yeah, all electronics. Like a guy gets killed by a soda machine.
But the most prevalent, like the bosses, are all these big trucks.
Yes. It's Transformers.
Kind of.
Yeah, one has the Hobgoblin face on
yes,
the front.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I'm trying to think. For me, like, I saw a bunch of horror movies really young, like Friday the 13th. I saw Hellraiser at like 7. So they all kind of blend together for me. But I will say this, like, this movie definitely made an impact on me when I first saw it because of just the sheer violence I've seen in it. It's not like, I almost want to call it like real violence because it seems like they're not doing like huge Hollywood punches and stuff like that. And like even the sound of, or the Foley effects for like them like hitting, it sounds like real people like punching each other. They're not doing like the typical kung fu breaking chopsticks type punches and stuff like that. So I was like, I remember this being pretty traumatic when I saw it for the first time. That's, like I said, this one definitely sticks with you. Even the plot or the violence, or sometimes both. It's just the film that keeps on giving. All right. Anybody else got anything to say about it?
No.
Okay. we'll try to have something a little more lighthearted for the next episode of Fun Sphere Movie Club.
Maybe even wild-hearted.
Yep. I was going to say, we'll wash it down with holes. I think maybe we'll watch it. We'll see you next time,
digging
folks.
A hole.
Bye.
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 I love good old boys. I think good old boy.
I'm surprised like Mad TV or something like that didn't already get to that somehow, but
no.
It does seem like a golden opportunity. Yeah.
Hopefully outside. You just went hanging
outside.
Out inside.
I walked almost into the wrong building, like it was locked, but I was like pretending I was unfazed.
Mm.
But I was fazed.
I think, yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest. If some dude started barking at me, I don't think it's going to be my best reaction, to be honest. All right.
It's a little too close to home based off of the last film we watched.
Oh, no joke.